hearing about your stories, and I know many of you have shared your stories in brief with me, and so I feel very much amongst friends. Many of you I've met through the morning services and over coffee, and some of you I look forward to meeting still. And so thank you very much for coming to hear this story of my life. It's not complete, and I've still got another 50 years or hopefully to live, and whatever the Lord will lead, he has. Let me start at the beginning. My life began in the mid-60s in Christchurch, New Zealand. I am the eldest of three and the daughter of an Anglican minister. My mum was a trained nurse and a kindergarten teacher. So I had a healthy, educated early childhood. Two brothers are both married. One's living in the Middle East, in Doha, in Qatar. And he's married to a Texan Belle. And they've got two lovely daughters. And my other brother is a doctor in Brisbane, in Queensland, so a little bit closer to here. And his wife, Anne, is from China, and they have a lovely daughter. Mike's got family in England. He leaves behind a lovely mum who's coming out in October, and two sisters and their families. My father is in Christchurch, coping with the shakes and doing very well there. And my mum is with the Lord. She went to be with him in 2009 after a brief journey with cancer. So that is my family as far as my blood relatives, but very much my life as a minister's kid and then later on as a missionary kid, the church family have been very much part of my development and the joy of my identity. And so I'm thanking you in in advance for the opportunities that I will have to grow as a Christian as I live and work among you at St. Alfred's. There's a wonderful passage in Luke where Jesus talks about foxes having holes and the birds of the air their nests. But as for us, we have an ultimate home in heaven, and in my case, over 30 temporary homes in earth. So I always hold on to the heaven one as sort of a point of reference. So my childhood was spent traveling happily, Christchurch to Melbourne, where my mum and dad were equipped to serve in Tanzania with New Zealand CMS when I was three. So I remember Melbourne Zoo with the little rectangular cages. Do you remember those? Yeah, that's about all I remember. But we were at Parkville while they did their missionary training. And then off to Nairobi in Kenya for a brief stint while they did their language. And then settled in Mwanza in Tanzania in the late 60s, early 70s, where I went to school and my youngest brother was born. So after that time, and some of you here will be mish kids or have been missionaries yourselves, sort of that transition came back. So I went back to New Zealand, and my dad and mum were in full-time parish work. My mum worked alongside my father, and we just grew up as children, as you do. And then years later, I had the opportunity to train as a primary school teacher in Christchurch, finishing that off in Palmerston North, for those of you who know New Zealand. And then I went out as a volunteer with CMS New Zealand to teach in the primary school I'd been a student at. So I think it was an answer to a prayer that I really wanted to go back to Tanzania. So that was wonderful for me. And that is actually where I met my husband, Mike. He came out from England, and he was the chaplain there of the cathedral. And so we weren't sort of romantically attached out there. I think he thought I was a bit crazy, one to be avoided. And I wonder why. and of course, I thought he was very different from me. But with a love, he ministers to you on Sunday, and I love him dearly. But We love talking. We love the Lord. We have a heart for people. And God has pulled us together in a wonderful way. I was 35 when I got married. He turned 42 on honeymoon. And so I thought I would probably be single for the years I would have. And God knew his ways. So that was wonderful for us. So but in those single years, I went back to Tanzania, met Mike, and then I came back to New Zealand and retrained as a nurse at Wellington. And then I thought, what will I do? And one night after a night shift, for those of you who are nurses, night shift decision making is not good. I rang up the international telephone directory and I said, could I speak to the director of nursing at the base hospital in Broken Hill and Alice Springs? So Alice wanted a midwife and I am not. Broken Hill gave me a telephone interview. And I got a job as a pediatric nurse at Broken Hill. And I hopped on a plane with my suitcase and went out there and had a wonderful time. And then I had a brief stint at the Women's and Children's in Adelaide as well. So came back to Christchurch after romance. Didn't work out. Sorted out my life. God has a hand in every part of it. And then Mike and I met up. Hopped on a plane, went to England after resigning as a public health nurse in Christchurch, and then went and got a job as a neonatal nurse, a very junior one, because as you can see, people who employ me, I've not got very long employment histories. Sort of like, can you make up your mind on a country, a job, you know? Sticking with the family, that's good, and with God. So basically, long story cut short, we were married in Christchurch in 2001. The following year, George was born, and Sarah in 2004. And we worshipped together in three churches in England. Is it? No, three churches since we've been married. Two in England, one the last one for 10 years. And the other one for me, about 2 years. And here we are now. And George and Sarah, as Jeanette mentioned, are both at Old Orchard Primary School and having a lovely time there. They're really settled. Thank you for your prayers for us all, because it is a big thing not only to move city, but to move country. And I'm still sort of looking out for daffodils. So even though I'm a New Zealander, I'm starting to look for greenery. it's weird. It's weird. So be patient. So if that gives you a little picture of my life, the other thing I might add is that I'm a coffee chatterer rather than a public speaker. So I appreciate your smiles as we speak. More importantly, my role as a minister's wife, I feel that my role in the church is to live as a Christian woman and to work out my faith in my local community. So that's how I come into St. Alfred's and probably any other place. I have skills, as we all do, and gifts, as we all use them. But that is how I work. So I'm very happy in the kitchen. I'm very happy talking. And I'm very excited when I see other people using their amazing gifts in the way that the Lord has enabled them. So I muddle along. Lord of the years, Psalm 139, verse 17 is wonderful. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. And can I say, we are all precious to him. Whatever the Lord has gifted us to do, it is for his glory. And we need not be ashamed of who we are, because the Lord has great purposes for all our lives. And he will use us in spite of ourselves and with our cooperation. And we don't need to worry about where the Lord is leading us. We just need to hold on to him. So the people that I have met have had a major impact on my life, and I'm very responsive. I tend to react off people. And I have so appreciated the stories that I've heard in your lives. They have encouraged me. And this is a wonderful place, this brunch and the wider church, to really encourage one another to stand firm in the Lord so that we can go out and share the good news with others. The job is not over. The body of Christ. Yesterday, I was talking to a dear friend. She came and visited me. Another friend this week was talking about a Bible reference about the body of Christ. And here, a relic from my childhood. I think it's sugarcane bamboo. But I couldn't bear to cut down the bamboo in the garden this morning because that sort of didn't illustrate the story very well. Because bamboo is very precious, especially in China, in Japan. It is a place of where teamwork is illustrated. The root network below the ground for the bamboo is horizontal, as you may or may not know. And in Japan, in the earthquakes, a lot of people have bamboo in their back garden, so when the earth shakes, they can run into the bamboo and they will be safe. But also, when a bamboo reed gets knocked down, the root network will push another one up, so you don't get knocked out altogether. It's a bit like the body of Christ, isn't it? It's not quite the parallel, but it's so important and it's precious. So touches on another passion of mine, gardening. I am learning. Thanks to all of you who give me cuttings. They are still alive. So traveling, listening, welcoming the stranger. I've had many different places that I have been brand new. So you learn survival techniques about how to cope in new places. But I do appreciate you coming up to us all. Never underestimate your smile and your encouragement, because it has taught me, in turn, to pass that on. So that's great. So Romans 12, 9 to 16. I think I'll just quickly dash into that. You probably know it well. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality, and so on. There's another little bit there. So that's exciting, being part of the body of Christ. How did I become a Christian? And I'll just check the time. I grew up in a Christian home, and from a very early age, I knew the Lord's presence. And in my teens, when I was reading, I found that Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, when they were talking about Jesus coming in and the temple curtain being ripped apart and Jesus dying for us, that suddenly made sense. And I remember running into my mum and dad's room. It was night, knocking on the door saying, "Listen to this. It's so exciting." For me, I'd heard the Easter story for many years, but it was just that time. It really made sense what Jesus had done for me on that cross. Unbelievable. And so I was able to see that I was so precious that he would die for me and he would die for you. And it wasn't an easy thing for him to do. But it was made out of love. So I just kept growing. And so his unconditional love for me, as us all, a love so deep and unchanging. His love for us never changes. And so very costly. But we're worth it. It's like the advertisement says, we're worth it. Don't forget that. But everyone's worth it. Not just us. So that is something that I really wanted to share as well. In the lonely times, there have been lonely times. I've missed my family and I felt very alone in ministry. Maybe my own eyes have been turned off the Lord for the odd moment or two. And once I was in my room feeling a bit sorry for myself, thinking no one cares. And then I was aware of our cat on the windowsill, Lucy. And she'd been there all the time. And she'd just been sitting there looking at me thinking, I know what goes. But I thought, isn't that a bit like God sometimes? Isn't that a bit like God? We think no one cares. And he's there. You know, sometimes it's hard to see him. But he's there. He loves us. And so I thought that was there. Loss and gain, the Christchurch earthquake. My father is safe. And there'll be some Kiwis amongst you, I'm sure, or have family or dear friends in New Zealand. It was a shocking time. But my dad is safe and well. And I remember seeing a church notice that said, the building is broken, but the church is intact. That's good. Okay. Now, I am a bit crazy, and I don't want to leave you with this, because I could talk about being a vicar's wife in Suffolk, but that might be for another time. But just to think, I was reading this yesterday, I thought, it's all heavy, and it's all a bit da-da-da. So, Joy, did you know that by raising your legs slowly and lying on your back, you cannot sink in quicksand? Just remember that. Just say that again. It could save your life, your earthly life, okay? Only God can save your heavenly life. Yeah. Did you know that by raising your legs slowly and lying on your back, you cannot sink in quicksand? Okay, just, okay. So that, if that, okay, so. I know. So, okay. Well, there you go. That's the real me coming out. That's why Mike had his reservations. But I love music. I love singing. I love playing. I studied music at university, as well as other things. But I am so appreciating the wonderful ministry of worship and prayer and praise here. Being a Suffolk vicar's wife, just briefly, garden parties, cucumber sandwiches, ladies' lunches, living well. I've always felt that if I'm going to run something, it has to have a God spot. And you know what? I've never had anyone say, no, I'm not coming because there's a little God spot. Don't be afraid, if you're running something, to have an opportunity to encourage people to think about Jesus or to walk with him. My challenge is how to grow people as disciples, and that's something I'm learning. But I used to help out with youth work, and Tim Hawkins, who's an Aussie bloke from Sydney, he wrote a fabulous book called Fruit That Will Last. And it's about growing young people, but it also can be applied to churches for growing communities in Christ that will last the distance, that will step through heaven. So I can recommend that book. My mother, always a keen supporter of my life, she was always sending me over little things, like how to make a template for a lady something or other that'll have a Bible message in it or something nice. And so I have lots of little bits of her legacy there to encourage me to grow as a Christian woman and stay firm in the faith. And she is definitely in heaven. And I will see her there one day. And I had the privilege of being with her when she went to glory as well. I think I'll just about finish there. But can I say, it's somewhere in Philippians. For those of you who are not so strong on your Bible verses, be assured I am with you. Okay? But it's no excuse. Okay. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And God's still at work in our lives. In mine and in ours, but he loves us. So be encouraged. And thank you for giving me this chance to share a little bit about me today. And I look forward so much to getting to know you all a bit better. And the food was divine. It was wonderful. So thank you. Have you got any questions, you know, one or two that you just think, oh, she missed out a really important thing? Yes. Strawberry. This is a lesson in hope for me. I met a young woman once. I was younger than her. She was a teenager, the older sister of a friend of mine. quite a challenging background she had, and she wanted to come to church, and I got to know her a bit. And they didn't have very much money, and for a birthday one year, she made me this strawberry, and her younger sister said, you know, she took 2 days to make this beautiful strawberry. It's got little quilting in it, and I've always kept it. And then the next year on my birthday, she'd gotten into a relationship, and I was a bit naive and young, so my mum was walking alongside her in that, and she fell pregnant. And I got a lovely card from her to say, Joe, thank you for being my friend, but I'm not worthy to be your friend. You are too up there. And I felt devastated. I thought, how have I lived my life to show that I feel I'm more important than she is? I felt very sad that anything that I would say, because our reference point is God. Whatever we've done on earth, degrees, trainings, what we've done, where we've gone, it's actually God and our reference point with him. That's what I learned over the time. But many years later, I bumped into her in a shopping mall in Christchurch. And she said, Joe, it's lovely to see you. We're thrilled. And you know, the Lord had called her back to himself. She'd gone into a church. She'd been involved there. She was getting married to a lovely Christian man. And she said, Joe, please come to my wedding. And so the Lord redeemed. You know, there's a lovely verse in James that says, if you've really tried to share your faith and it's just really not coming, don't give up, but maybe just be patient and trust. And I just felt I'd failed completely. But the Lord redeemed that. He redeemed that, gave me hope. It wasn't through my, but I was a little link in the chain. But God loved her so much. And so if there's someone you think, gosh, I love them so much, God loves them even more. And he's got a plan for them. So keep praying. And this lovely strawberry reminds me of my friend who's probably going really strongly with the Lord. I don't know if I'll ever meet her again on this earth, but what a lesson it taught me on God's care for someone else. So that's good. Thank you for asking me about the strawberry. Yeah. Good question. Anyone else? So, I'm one of these people, I've got, my mind is going 90 to the dozen. It's a challenge of earthly things, like finding our son a high school, which I feel, coming from another country and just diving in, that is a very, very big physical prayer thing. But I think it's, not to sound too spiritual, but letting go and letting God challenge me, push me forward and grow. But it's a mixture. I think life is a challenge, but we have one who's got the victory. But it's a hard question, that one. I don't know if I've answered it. Maybe a coffee and cake sometime. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I think we should put our hands together for Joe. Thank you very much.